Wait a minute. That sound. Rudolph, what's that sound? That glorious sound.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
All right, Dr. G.C. Dilsaver, there's your theme song. I told you I'd have it queued up and ready for you. How are you on this beautiful August morning?
Good morning, King Dude. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am well. Let me start by asking you, you're a doctor. You have a Ph.D. in psychology. You had to take some medical courses. Am I wrong in what I said about what the president and what the faculty have done at Louisiana State University?
Right. And I know as you go back to the Louisiana, and I know you're a big fan of them. This is hard when you have this whole mixture of, you know, you want to separate the good from the bad. But unfortunately, you really can't do that in these kind of systems. And it's not just the medical professions. It's all the professions that under the licensure of the state. Now, of course, the AMA and the medical professions and osteopaths, what have you, have to compromise incredibly to stay licensed. You mentioned earlier McCullough as his being under attack from Biden, New York Times, you know, all those evil entities, which is really, to me, that's probably his greatest accomplishment so far, has been just to do that and to be on their most wanted list. But any of these doctors, you know, the frontline doctors that have spoken out, they're called the frontline doctors, America's frontline doctors. You know that website.
Oh, yes.
They're promoting, of course, these prophylactics, everything from hydroxychloroquine, which you and I talked about way back in February and March of the lockdown, before it even began. Hydroxychloroquine, and when it was being censored and still being censored, AMA censored it, and then they came out in December of this last December after the election and said, well, hey, hydroxychloroquine does have some efficacy here. You know, it's all this flip-flopping. So we don't. How can we trust the AMA when part of their agenda, of course, is to kill the unborn, to kill the infirm, the elderly? It is. And they are not only perpetrating infanticide, but they're also perpetrating this euthanasia. And this is, it takes place in every single hospital in this country. And of course, a lot of those hospitals are under the auspices of Catholicism.
There you go.
How's that happen?
Yeah.
So what do we do? You know, what do you do? I have, you know, if I have a young person come to me and they're interested in going into medicine or into clinical psychology. And honestly, Mike, this is what I have. The position I take now is that you can't be in the system at all. There's no med school out there that's acceptable. You have to compromise from the get-go. And in anything you do when you're in that system. So that being said, as you have been discussing and exploring, the need to set up this subculture, this separate economy, and yes, the separate professions. These have to be truly rooted in Christianity. Now, the problem being is that not only is a state in power by or disempower by a licensing, and therefore they have you controlled.
Right.
But at the same time, you also have the state and the insurance companies. So all the money is only funded to those entities, to those professions, to those practitioners under the thumb of the state. And so, yes, most of these practitioners are going to be cowards. They're not going to risk their livelihood, right? So, how long did I spend? I spent, it takes 5 years to get your, you know, postgraduate before you even get your doctorate. And then you got to go to internship, and then you have psychiatric hospitals and jump all through the hoops. So then in my case, let me give you an example. Here it is, clinical psychology. So the state then said, this was, what, 5, 7, 8 years ago. I'd always been flying under the radar and just doing my own thing and not really paying much attention to the professional board or anything else. But then they came to me because I had a young man on a Catholic retreat that was from a different state that had been sentenced by that state. This is actually Washington State. I'll name it out. You know, it's a very liberal state. But they, and I was in Idaho at the time. He'd come to Idaho. But Washington State contacted me. The mental health court contacted me. How Orwellian is that? Mental health court. You know, right?
It sounds ominous. It sounds ominous.
It is absolutely chilling because a mental health court is going to determine if you have mental health or you have mental disorder, and they're going to sentence you. And this young man, for instance, was sentenced by a judge who is then not even trained in clinical psychology, but he sentenced him to what? To being on antipsychotic drugs. Very powerful things, sentenced him. And it is a sentence because you have to go and get a shot. And it stays in your system for a month or 2 months. And that was the sentence. And I said, they want me to enforce this. And they want me to ask, they want me to tell them if what he was doing. And I said, for me, that's a no-brainer. As we see in the Marine Corps, really? I'm going to inform on my patient to a mental health court in another state? Number one, it's unconstitutional. You know? That other state has absolutely zero authority over me, although I'll still say that this state here currently has zero authority as well. But even in this, in the loosest interpretation of the Constitution, another state has no right to interfere in my practice when I'm licensed in a foreign state. So, but the Idaho Board of Psychologists did whatever the state of Washington and the mental health court wanted them to do. So, oh, Dr. Dilstaver. So he's opposing us. And what they do, they look at the chilling effect of this. Can you imagine? So for me, you know, we're doing, if you will, talking to people and helping them change their lives. So I'm not cutting them open. So, you know, they don't have to worry about having a rusty scalpel or something around that. You know, I'm not practicing hygiene. This is, I'm talking to them. Oh, but yes, I am not practicing hygiene because I'm introducing dangerous ideas into their minds. Dangerous ideas that they can break the yoke of the mental health system. And so this need to oppose that. So they threatened me, you know, we're going to investigate you. And quite frankly, they came into even to my office. I saw them. I said, well, this is absurd. What? We haven't done anything. We're just giving this guy's on a retreat for young men. But an investigator came in and he's sitting there. And I said, and I did tell him, yeah, this is quite Stalin-esque, isn't it? And he goes, you know, well, I'm sure that we have just scratched the surface and we're going to find something. And of course they're going to find something, but it's all trumped up anyway. It's all made up. I mean, you see my caseload, whatever it was that I did confront them. I said, I don't want your license here, but this is false. You can't do this. But in any case, it doesn't matter. If you oppose the system, they will squash you. So I say, don't allow them to have you by the throat. Don't allow that sort of vulnerability by being licensed by the state. That is debilitating.
Now, this is a point that we've been making for a long, long time. He's been making it for a long time. There are many others that have been making it for a long time. We even have some brothers by baptism that are Protestants, like Chuck Baldwin. Chuck's been making it. He lives up there near you now. Chuck's been making this point. A state licensing board is a revenue operation. It has nothing to do with competency. Nothing, 0.0 to do with competency. It is a revenue operation. I'm going to give it here. Here's how you know this. Back in the day when electricity first became a thing, like when Doc Dilsaver and I were little children, back in the 20s. Back in the day, companies started making appliances. Some of them blew up. Some of them electrocuted people and killed them. What was formed to deal with this? Do you remember? Underwriters Laboratory, UL. The Underwriters Laboratory, which was the insurance companies, went and said, we need an entity that will test products and certify that they're safe. Not the government. The Underwriters Laboratory, UL, was completely privately funded by the insurance companies. People don't, and by the inventors. People don't know that. If you didn't have a UL tag on a cord to plug an iron in, you probably weren't going to buy it. Because you're like, well, how do you know you plug that thing in? It might blow the house. It might shock you. The evil people in government, they saw an opportunity. Wait a minute. We can make these guys illegal, take over the system, and we don't even just we just have to kind of like pretend like we're looking at their competency, and we can issue the licenses, and then our lawyer buddies will clean up the rest by suing anyone that puts something on the market that is not completely safe. Even if they didn't intend to do it, it doesn't matter. Tort law, we all know about tort law. This system that had Underwriters Laboratory in it would be perfectly compliant with and could exist in a new Christendom, right alongside a guild for appliance makers or a guild for wirers. Folks, we can't just keep complaining about what we're going through here. We got to do something about it. And that's why he wrote the book, Crucial Christianity, and that's why we have to start acting on it. And one of the things that we can do is, look, I'm not going, you can't license me anymore. Like in this state of Louisiana, it's so stupid and ridiculous. You know you have to go to a 2-year accredited school to get a license to give a haircut. You got to go get a cosmetology license. You have to go pass a test, one of their tests, to prove your competency. Well, if there are people leaving your barbershop who have ears cut off and are bleeding at the neck, you would know that they're not very competent, right? It's just another part of, look, ladies and gentlemen, it is all about revenue, always. It's never about competency.
And control.
And control. True, that's right. Well, the state license, because the state can have our, remember what did Governor Wolf do in Pennsylvania with people that revolted against his first mandates? Joe Beeman, Katie Beeman, are you listening? What did Wolf do? He went after the licensing boards. He said, I want you to go start revoking anyone's license to cut hair, sell alcohol, run a grocery store, run a fruit stand. If they're not doing what I told them to do, yank their license. You see how that worked?
I don't know. I don't really see it. I experienced it. And I didn't give a hoot about the stinking license. You know, at that time, you know, I already had psychomorphics, you know, fully developed, a separate discipline that I was practicing. But I experienced it. This guy, and I'll say the inspector's name was a guy in Idaho. His name was Fink, appropriately enough. But coming in, they come in and they bully you and they try to scare you. Of course, these guys are scared to death because you're going to take my livelihood away from me. If I don't get referrals from the state, if I don't get referrals from the powers that be, I'm not going to have a practice. Well, see, their validity depends on the licensor and the authority of the state saying you're valid. Well, that state's authority and that validity is zilch in regards to the study and treatment of the soul, obviously.
Right, right.
Maybe some, there's obviously, you can see some interest in a physical operation, something happening that they're trying to, that's discernible. Okay, well, that is a dirty instrument. You can't use that. Okay, period. But how can they say, well, this is discernible. You're helping these young people, whoever it is, trying to escape their enslavement, and that's not allowable because that's dangerous, and it's a little bit dangerous for them too because they're called to grow. It's much safer, isn't it? To medicate them into a somnolence where they're going to be complicit and compliant, but that is something, of course, as someone who was supposed to be a doctor of the soul? Well, I can't do that. That's totally contrary. It's as contrary as a physician killing a baby in the womb. And so it was nobody, you can't do that. But it's interesting because when they bully you, and if you resist, and I'm the kind of guy that, you know, when someone comes toward me, this may surprise you, Mike, but you know, when I'm attacked, I attack back. I counter attack. And so they couldn't stand that. well, this guy doesn't, he's not afraid of us. He doesn't care. He holds us in contempt. And I did. And I still do more so than ever. So you cannot knuckle under to that kind of thing. So we've been doing, now I've been doing this for 7-8 years. However, you still get flack. I get flack from, so what are we going to do? These guild system, this new Christendom, and by the way, my, you know, I've told you that before. I think we have the, you know, the last chapter, of course, in Crucial Christianity is all about the creation of the new Christendom, okay, especially on the familial and the social, political, and the ecclesial level. And the rest of this will follow. So you have to get those basics down first. The guilds and the professions, everything will follow. So psychomoralytics, as a separate profession, for true help in issues that come emanate from the soul that may manifest in so-called mental disorders, which is only symptomology. That is a separate guild. However, I'm challenged by even by bishops and, you know, that say, they've asked you, well, but are you licensed by the state? Yeah. I'm going, what? You're asking me if I have a license from a state to study or treat the soul. That's my validity? The state? You know, even the best state, you wouldn't want that to happen. But in this case, where's the validity of psychomoralytics? Where would the validity of any of these professions come from? From their efficacy and their truth. And that's why psychomoralytics is fully explicated in that book, Psychomoralytics. The science is there. Tell me where it's wrong. Tell me where the falsehood is. And you can say, this is valid because it's Thomistic. This is valid because it's true. This is valid because it's the true anthropology. So that's where we have to look at it. For Catholics, again, going right back to that point, it is truth that is the source of our authority, not the state.
By the way, get Crucial Christianity. I checked this morning. We have 2 copies left at shop.mikechurch.com. Dr. G.C. Dilsaver on our Dude Maker.
The website newchristendom.org is a website I've had on there for 5 years, and it's you can look on that. You know, we should probably link up somehow. I don't even know how to do all that, but get some of the guys to link our websites up. But newchristendom.org is where you can just kind of start getting in there and maybe, you know, just get on in our mailing list. And we'd like to, we're going to work together, you and I, to try to.
Yes, absolutely. We should. newchristendom.org. All right. I want to ask you a question straight up, and this will come right out of from the Christian perspective. You read my newsletter from last night, so you know where I stand on this. But I imagine that people that are new listeners and catch me on the preview stream and may hear some of my rantings may think this guy is absolutely freaking nuts. He is a snake oil salesman, revival tent preacher, bananas, with all of this insistence that all of these people that are only concerned with our health and our well-being and our safety and just want us, you know, to be free from disease and what have you, are in cahoots with the devil, and they're Satanists and they're with demons. And as they say, whether you cooperate willingly or not is immaterial here. They made decisions when you chose that your master was going to be the secular state and that you were going to obey everything it told you to do, even when it contravenes and defies the law of nature. We don't even have to argue Catholicism. We can, but the law of nature says I was born with an immune system. There's no way to kill it. I can get a disease called autoimmune deficiency disorder. I was born with an immune system. We all were. That's nature. That is nature. We still have them. The state right now, any state that's advocated any mask mandate, any social distancing, anything of the sort, and saying, animating through a state entity like a university that you have to get a vaccination or prove that you're not infected, they are denying the immune system, and they are inserting and replacing it with this demonic, here's your new immune system. Stick this in your arm once every 5 to 7 months. That's the only way you get to play in our sandbox. That is cooperation with evil that is trying to stamp the Imago Dei from the face of the earth. Right or wrong?
Amen.
Right or wrong?
Amen. Amen. And that's exactly right. So this, it's very interesting. There's a real correlation here between that, the idea that we're going to medicate you, again, vaccinate you, whatever have you, and you're not going to be able to build up a natural immune system, which is, there's a certain danger in that, yes. There's certain things, but your body has to respond to that and get stronger. because that's how we build natural immunity up. Now, you know, we can go into the whole science of vaccinations, which McCullough does that, so I'm not going to, you know, that's not my competency. But again, you know, everybody has to now become not only suspect of this COVID vaccination, but all vaccinations. Look at them and study them and see what's going on there. This is the pharmacological industry, the complex there, and it's pharmacological, it is insurance company, and it is state. And these three entities, you know, form this unholy cabal of total power. But the pharmaceutical companies then with the vaccinations, they do the same thing with the medication. So, but where Sycamore lives is going to encourage a person to face reality, you know, the virus of reality, if you will, right? And grow through it and be able to embrace it and be able to, again, allow the imago Dei to flourish. But it only does so in, if you will, the embracing of the cross of reality, which the world, this anti-Christic culture, rejects 100%. We do not accept the cross of reality, much less the cross of Christ, because we don't accept, as you said, nature. And so we must go through there. We must get dirty. You must get cut. You must get infected to grow stronger. And you can do this in a prudent manner, obviously. You know, as we raise children, we do this. And, of course, here out in the farm, you know, there's a lot. I'm sure a lot, my kids do a lot, have a lot more stuff on them, but on their feet wherever else that, right, that I never had growing up in suburbia. But as well, quite frankly, they're healthier. And so this is the process of building up that natural immunity and the process of building up an immunity to the powers that be as well.
844-527-8723, call in line, telephone number, Dr. G.C. Delsaver on our...
And Michael, Mike, can I say to you, this thing here too is that the fact is that when we see that the... So whereas the licensing boards of psychiatry and psychology or medicine are so interested in little issues of supposed unprofessionalism... And that's all they can say. I mean, finally, like for my case, you know, it's unprofessional. Well, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't matter. We're the profession. We're the board. We'll say what it is. You're unprofessional, but you resist us. And so, but guess what? The psychopharmacological companies, they get away with murder, absolute murder, and they're never touched.
Now, to make my case even more firm about where the medical profession is today, I'm going to give you a statistic and you can comment on it. My legal eagle in the chat room tells me that in 1930, survey was conducted and it was recorded that 70% of all hospitals in the United States were run by the Catholic Church. That's probably down to about 3% now. What happened? And that was a good thing when it was happening. Look at the result of the opposite now. So if the Catholic Church, Christ's chosen church, the church he founded, isn't running the hospital, here's a good question. Who is? If he's been kicked out, well, then who moved in?
That's right. Exactly right. And only those that compromise the faith. Now, interestingly enough, with those Catholic hospitals, most of them were actually founded by religious orders, by nuns. And so you can imagine, here you are back in the 50s or 40s. And if you're sick, you know, I had my tonsils out when I was 7. Well, if I had, no, I did have a cute nurse come in and when I was 7. But, you know, if you had a nun in a white gown, yeah, I mean, a white habit, you know, I mean, it's an angel of mercy. You know, how beautiful.
That's right.
Because in a hospital, because that's where you need mercy. A hospital used to be considered a sacred place. So talking about, you know, the old cartoons. You remember the old cartoons? You had the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote chasing each other. But go by a hospital, it's a quiet hospital zone. Remember that? Quiet
that's
hospital
right,
zone.
Quiet hospital zone. That's right.
Yes. Because why? It's a sacred place. People are being born there. People are suffering there. People are dying there. It's a holy and sacred place. And of course you want nuns there. Of course you want women there. I mean, nursing. It's a beautiful maternal vocation. But today, you don't see the nuns, much less the nurses dressed in their white dresses and with their nursing caps. You know, very a certain garb that really does look like a religious garb. No, instead, now you have they're in their scrubs. And I would say here's another statistic, and I'm just going to pull this out of the air, but I bet you it's pretty darn true, is that, you know, probably 90% of those nurses are obese. And I go by those places now, and I've, you know, been in various dire situations with family and others. But the nursing stations, they're over there, you know, they're laughing, they're joking, they're not dealing with this reality deeply. They themselves aren't doing it. So hospitals used to be sacred places, now they are not. Now they are these factories, and of course, the main thing that they're pushing now is not the sacredness of life, but dying with dignity. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? Dying with dignity. But it's not nice because that in itself is oxymoronic. Dying is not dignified. Dying is humiliating. Dying is purgative. Dying is devastating. And let us enter into the reality of that fully. But what do they do instead? Medication. The minute a patient starts to get a little bit panicky or anxious, because why? Because I'm dying.
Right, right.
Medicate them so that they don't disturb us, so the family members aren't disturbed, so the staff isn't disturbed, and they medicate them, and so they, oh, didn't they die peacefully? Yes, they died unconscious, unable to even ask God for forgiveness, unable to prepare the souls to meet their maker. So this is embedded in the system. We have to now create a different one. Now, back to those nuns, though, by the way, what happened to those nuns in those beautiful white habits? Well, in the 60s, they took the habits off, they lost vocations, and now these remaining hospitals that are still run by nuns, like Sisters Hospital in Buffalo, New York, for instance, but they are all these old feminist nuns who are what? They are so rich.
True.
Can you imagine? I mean, a few nuns owning a hospital. I mean, what? What do they do with that money? Who knows? But it's diabolical. So these Catholic hospitals are not Catholic. And again, we have to set something up, the alternative. And that means also alternative medicine, looking outside the allopathic. You know, and again, you talk about Mercola, he talks a lot about that. You go to the beyond the allopathic model and looking into not just treating disease, but yes, actually helping people gain health, building up that immune system. That's the key. And it's very positive looking. It's not just a reaction. It's not just trying to treat a symptom. It is trying to create a systemic health. And that's exactly what psychomorlytics does on the spiritual level.
There was a treatment for cancer that was developed in the 1980s, and it came from the roots of, from the seed of apricots. I'm trying to remember the name of it. You can't find it with a search warrant today. It's not available, but it worked. What was it called?
I thought the element within the apricot, what was it? The chemical was it? I thought it was something. It was I thought it was some sort of a cyanide type thing. But you know, again, it's one of those contrary things. But again,
Laetril worked. It worked. People that had stage one, stage two cancer got Laetril. No chemo, nothing. Laetril help repair the cells. We now know through all the scientific genetic Frankenstein monster research that's going into this mRNA crap, we now know how cancer cells, we can pretty much identify how a cancer cell is created. Basically, it's kind of like my skin when I have psoriasis outbreaks. It produces too much because I got a toxin in my body or whatever. It goes like, oh, yeah, leach it out to the skin. And then whatever the process. They mimic this now with these jab vax, this mRNA, by infusing genetic code into heavy water. They're injecting deuterium, which is an isotope. Deuterium is in the jab. So when people say, well, how could you put a flashlight? If you got deuterium in your body, you kind of glow. It can be detected because it's heavy water. It's got a radioactive isotope in it that has a very long half-life, like 20,000 years or something like that. It will outlive you. So they took the Laetrile, and basically you can't find it on the market. Now, Laetrile may not have been the cure-all and may not have cured everyone, but it was one treatment that was completely homeopathic and natural. Now, the only treatment you can get that's homeopathic and natural is they'll give you a death sentence. Well, you're going to die then if you don't do what we say. You have to actually go to Mexico to get Laetrile, or Canada or the Bahamas or somewhere to even attempt to use Laetrile as a treatment.
All right. May have to go to Mexico to get real Coke. Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
yeah. real Coke. With not corn syrup, but with actual sugar cane.
Sugar.
But... yeah, that's right. And so Mike, we're talking about that for Christians are the ones that have to lead the way here, because still, all of this, the physical, and of course anything that has to do with the soul, psychology, or psychiatry, has to be under the auspices of an adequate anthropology. And so we know that physical health is not the ultimate end. We take care of ourselves physically, we try to. You know, you look at you. I mean, you know, obviously you spend a lot of time in the gym. You know, and
that's a good one.
But we do it because why? So that, you know, not so we can, you know, look good, or it's so we can feel good and be strong and serve God and our families. And of course, to lay our lives down, you know, when necessary. But it's not the ultimate end, and that's the problem. And so we have to have it within a Christian context. And now how do we do this? We have to develop this. So what I say, if somebody wants to go to med school, I say, don't do it. I say, study on your own, develop this in many ways, and let's create a really holistic way of medicine that we can actually serve people outside the system. That's the key. We're going to have to do this. It's going to be home-based as well. Home-based medicine, for instance. We can do that now. So somebody can say, hey, I'm going to go talk to somebody. My child's sick now, and I'm going to call so-and-so and get in the system, and they're going to give us advice on what to do, and we can monitor this. But even in the really serious illness, telemedicine is being more and more available. And so we need to do this as Christians. We need to use the technology to work outside the system. And this takes a very, very, again, radical mentality, but this is part of the new Christendom, this domestic, familial connections that have to be underground, have to be below the culture. And so the basic principle being, first, the crucial principle being, is that this culture and its professions and its anything that's in this under its umbrella of power, the West and our culture, contrary to the new evangelization mentality, you can't evangelize this culture because this culture has rejected Christ. It's been done and they rejected it. So this culture is irredeemable. We have to create a new culture, a new Christendom, starting in our own families, community of families. So we need to build this. And you can do this in medicine as well as anything else.
So that's the basic, that's the gist. That was the gist of our Congress. That was the gist of all of our work that we've done since. It's the gist of Dr. Dilsaver's work, David Simpson's, Brother Andre's work, many of us have been doing. They've given us an opportunity, Dr. Dilsaver, though, haven't they? They've shown their hands. They've shown it. Look, this is our side. We're all in. Either throw in with us, with the masks, the mandates, the diseases forever, the death, the Franken jabs, the whole shebang that goes along with it. Either throw in for us or you're our enemy and we're coming to wipe you out. So they basically have done us a favor, and they're going to force people into a camp. You got to pick a side, babe.
Yeah, right. And I agree 100%. Now, I'm not, and don't, you know, yes, we're going to, you know, support guys like DeSantis and Trump and all this, but we're not going to depend on them. We're going to, at the end of the day, they're going to fade away, and this totalitarian regime is still going to be there. We're going to need to create something that is, again, immune to whoever is in power. Because we need to be in power in our own familial level, relocating down to the domestic level, the source of power and emphasis. And this has to be done, of course, social, politically, and ecclesial. We'll talk about the ecclesial part. That's talked about in the Crucial Christianity as well. But we manage that power down. But it, now, and bottom line, Mike, I don't know if you talked about this on the show. I don't know if David has, but what about, we talk about resistance, but there's no, you know, no, we have the principle of no taxation without representation. Aren't we there already? No, we're there now. I mean, really, we're totally justified not to pay into that system. Now, of course, that what's going to happen? See you in prison, right? But if people, that's really needs the next, the real step is on a mass level. If all Christians say, "Oh, I'm not going to support this system. I can't support this evil regime. I'm not going to pay into that federal or state system." What are you going to do? But it has to be in mass, because otherwise they pick you off. And that's why it's so important to create this coalition. We still have to do this. And this is very deep stuff, but this is what we're talking about. Now, the state says, "You're not going to give us our money." You know, they hold a gun to your head. What are they going to do? Give us your money. What are they going to do? Yeah. No. Bang.
So there it is. We'll continue this conversation with Dr. Dilsaver. You can get the book, A Crucial Christianity, and the Founders Trading Post, shop.mikechurch.com, and then go to his website, newchristendom.org. And then for any mental issues that you may have or intellectual issues, go to souldeepscience.com.
Right. Now, it's not, now, of course, mental means that that's a false concept itself. It's not that you don't think correctly. It's that your soul is not ordered properly.
Right, right.
And then the thoughts will properly follow.
So souldeepscience.com and newchristendom.org. All right. Well, thanks for the double tap this month. If not sooner, we will see you on the first Monday in September.
All right. And we never talked about St. Aristotle, taking him off the calendar. But we, you know, that, again, that's, we talked about the last week, but then further on, you want to weigh in on that. But it's this, we have, again, these are basic principles, because as Catholics are saying, you're going to resist the state, you're going to have a tax revolt. Well, what's that mean? You have to see that the state is not omnipotent. You have to see, and that means you have to really reject the Aristotelian model of the state being the perfect society.
Let me ask Brother Andre to come on and talk about that, so we could do a three-way.
Yeah, that'd be great. We're gonna do that. We're gonna do that tag team, and with Andre the Giant. I'll be Roddy. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Who do you want to be? You and I. Be.
I will be
the king dude.
I will be the. You know what? Since Jack Hunter doesn't want it anymore, I'll be the Southern Avenger. So there you go. All right, we'll get that going. Thank you very much for your time,
brother.
Again. All right, brother. Talk soon. God bless. So there you go. All right, we'll get that going. Thank you very much for your time again. All right, brother. Talk soon. God bless.